Hi, Dave Emmerich here, side two of For the Record program number 806, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates, being recorded on August 17th of the year 2014. We're going to plunge right back in where we left off. I was talking about the Munich Oktoberfest bombing of 1980. That investigation has been reopened in Germany, and kudos, by the way, to the German authorities for reopening that investigation. That will be a sticky wicket. And kudos to Der Spiegel for covering this story. Some of the best investigative reporting that has been done in the last several years, in my opinion, has been done by Der Spiegel. And I think anyone who is serious about keeping up with what is going on should definitely make it a point of following the excellent work that is being done by Der Spiegel in many instances. Now, in connection with the Munich Oktoberfest bombing, that bombing at the Oktoberfest festival in October of 1980 in Munich, Germany, was extremely destructive. It was blamed, surprise, surprise, on a lone nut. That was a fellow named Kohler, Gandolf Kohler. And in fact, it turns out that he was not the lone nut that we are told that he was. He had links not only to the Sportgruppe Hoffmann or Wehrsportgruppe Hoffmann, a German neo-Nazi organization that was headed up by Karl-Heinz Hoffmann, but apparently Karl-Heinz Hoffmann and his organization had been networking with the P2 milieu and the Coca Fascisti of Klaus Barbie that we looked at in AFA program number 19, many programs about Operation Gladio as well. And in addition, one of the things that we looked at in For the Record 333 was that a German intelligence official named Hans Langemann, who then was working for the Verfassungsschutz, Germany's domestic intelligence service, covered up the links of Mr. Kohler. He provided an alibi for Karl-Heinz Hoffmann in the Oktoberfest bombing. Karl-Heinz Hoffmann was the head of the Sportgruppe Hoffmann, or Wehrsportgruppe Hoffmann, to which Mr. Kohler, the lone nut perp of the Oktoberfest bombing, lone nut, of course, belongs in quotes, was affiliated. Interestingly, in 1972, Hans Langemann worked for the BND. That was the German Foreign Intelligence Service that was evolved from the Gehlen organization, and he was the security chief for the 1972 Munich Olympics. Those Olympics turned out to be very unsecure indeed, and within a couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a look at new information that has emerged concerning the 1972 Munich Olympics massacre. It turns out not only that the German government had advance warning of that and took no substantive additional security steps, but that the Palestinian terrorists that executed that had support from German neo-Nazi elements. In AFA number 22, we took a look at the fact that Ali Hassan Salameh, who headed up the Black September terrorists that perpetrated the 1972 Olympics massacre, then went to work, courtesy of Henry Kissinger, for CIA and elements of Western intelligence prior to his assassination in a bomb attack by Mossad. So again, as we look at the apparent cover-up of the Oktoberfest bombing, bear in mind that part of that cover-up appears to have been affected by Hans Langemann working for the Verfassungsschutz. He was the same fellow who, while working for BND, he was the security director for the very unsecure 1972 Munich Olympics. Another thing we looked at in AFA 22 was that, according to the German magazine Konkret, Hans Langemann and the head of the BKA at the time, that was the German equivalent, a guy named Hans Kohlmann, Hans Kohlmar, excuse me, K-O-L-L-M-A-R. According to Konkret, Hans Langemann and Hans Kohlmar, head of the BKA, the German federal police and the equivalent of our FBI had been involved in setting up terrorist incidents, basically to be blamed on the left as provocations. So again, bear in mind the name of Hans Langemann, the cover-up of the 1980 Oktoberfest bombing, and the Olympics connection that we spoke about earlier. We'll come back to the Olympics massacre in a few weeks. Again, kudos for this story to Der Spiegel, that has done a terrific job. Kudos also to the German authorities for reopening this investigation. We'll see what happens. This is from Der Spiegel of October 25th of 2011. It's by Tobias von Heymann, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N, and Peter Wensierski, W-E-N-S-I-E-R-S-K-I. It's headlined, Oktoberfest Bombing Under Review. Officials ignored right-wing extremist links, and it reads in part, 31 years after the 1980 Oktoberfest bomb attack, officials have reopened the case. Previously unknown documents reviewed by Der Spiegel show that the perpetrator, allegedly a lone wolf, was involved with the neo-Nazi scene and Bavarian conservatives. Parenthetically, that is the CSU. Continuing, but the unwelcome clues were likely ignored. Earlier in the case, there had been speculation about Kohler's right-wing extremist background. And last year, serious doubts emerged as to whether the 21-year-old was truly alone at the scene of the crime on September 26, 1980. But the question of why the authorities never completely solved the case remains unanswered to this day. Could it have been that the party in Bavaria at the time, the Conservative Christian Social Union, or CSU, had no interest in seeing the case solved? It was less than 2 weeks before the October 5th, 1980 German parliamentary election, and the CSU and its then Bavarian state governor and chancellor candidate Franz Josef Strauß were not interested in right-wing extremist terrorism. In their worldview, the threat always came from the left. The authorities also showed little interest in Kohler's involvement in the Wehrsportgruppe, or military sports group paramilitary organization run by the neo-Nazi Karl-Heinz Hoffmann, H-O-F-F-M-A-N-N, or that Kohler had attended one of their meetings, quote, sometime in the past, unquote. At the time, right-wing extremist activities were being downplayed by those at the very top of the political ladder in Bavaria. Speaking in the state parliament in March of 1979, Strauss said, quote, don't make fools of yourselves by attributing significance to certain groups. You mentioned Hoffman's Wehrsportgruppe Hoffmann today, that they never had, do not have, and never will acquire in Bavaria, unquote. In early August of 1980, a few weeks before the attack, Kohler spoke with close friends about the Bundestag election scheduled for that October. He wanted to vote for Strauss, he said, but added that it was also important for the NPD, parenthetically Germany's top neo-Nazi party, currently, by the way, not only having a representative in the European Parliament, but that representative, a former head of the NPD, is sitting on the European Parliament's Civil Rights Commission. I hope that sounds like fun. Beginning again. He wanted to vote for Strauss, he said, but added that it was also important for the NPD to receive more votes. In the end, he said, only violence could produce change. It was about time, he said, for someone besides the left to stage an attack, namely the right. In the conversation, Kohler also said that it might be a good idea to commit a bomb attack in Bonn, Hamburg, or Munich. The attack, he added, quote, could be blamed on the left, and then Strauss will be elected, unquote. Neo-fascists in Italy had already done something similar. Only 8 weeks earlier, a bomb attack had devastated the train station in Bologna, Italy, killing 85 and injuring 200. Parenthetically, we look at that at great length in AFA program number 19. Continuing. The right-wing extremist attack was initially portrayed as the work of leftist terrorists. The strategy apparently fascinated Kohler and other right-wing radicals in Germany. They envisioned a series of bombings that would spark fear throughout the country, setting the scene for the establishment of a new Nazi dictatorship. Another clue also raises questions about the background of the Oktoberfest attack. A few weeks earlier, Kohler's idol Hoffmann apparently met in Italy with the internationally feared neo-fascist Joachim Fiebelkorn, F-I-E-B-E-L-K-O-R-N as in Nancy, the neo-Nazi from the town of Eppstein in the Taunus Mountains near Frankfurt, was an informant for the German Federal Criminal Police Office, or BKA, and a number of intelligence agencies, parenthetically, including the American DEA. Continuing, he also helped Klaus Barbie, the former head of the Gestapo in Lyon, France, built a paramilitary combat group in Bolivia. According to previously unknown Stasi documents, Fiebelkorn, quote, at the instruction of Chiai, that's Stefano Della Chiai, unquote, had met with, quote, Karl-Heinz Hoffmann in Rome on July 13, 1980, unquote, as well as with French and Italian right-wing extremists. The Italian neo-fascist Stefano Della Chiai was viewed as one of the leading international terrorists of the day, a sort of right-wing counterpart to the left-wing terrorist Carlos, unquote. Western intelligence agencies held Chiai and his varying terrorist organizations like Ordine Nuovo responsible for anti-communist attacks on several continents in the 1970s and the 1980s. Four youths told police that they had seen Kohler with several young men wearing German Armed Forces parkas shortly before the attack. They drew sketches of Kohler and his possible accomplices that largely coincided with the statements made by another witness. But the investigators also showed little interest in this possible lead. The SPD FDP federal government had wanted to send investigators to the crime scene that night, but the Bavarians put them off. Strauss appeared at the Theresienwiese festival grounds late that night. The Bundestag election campaign was in full swing, and the Bavarian candidate for the chancellorship promptly went on the offensive and tried to blame the left for the attack. I would note Franz Josef Strauss, a key element of the post-World War II German far right, had strong links with Odessa elements, including Otto Skorzeny and Hans Ulrich Rudel. He also had links with the OUNB, the Ukrainian fascist organization, and the direct antecedent to the elements in power in Ukraine today. We look at that at great length, the background that is, and for the record, 778. I would note also that Stefano Della Chiai was linked to the Ordine Nuovo organization, Pino Rauti, a prominent Italian fascist and part of former P2 member Silvio Berlusconi's coalition government in Italy, was the head of Ordine Nuovo and one of the directors of the bank Al-Taqwa that figures in the background of the Turkish funding of ISIS as well as the Operation Green Quest attacks. A fellow named Karim Alessandro Gave, S-N-G-H-E, is a member of Ordine Nuovo, the Italian fascist terrorist organization discussed here, and also a member of the directorship of Bank Altaqua. Altaqua, as we saw in some of our discussions with Lucy Commissar, had opened accounts with the Clearstream Network, with the Banco del Gottardo in Switzerland, that was formerly the Swiss branch of the Banco Ambrosiano, that too inextricably linked with the P2 merger that we looked at in AFA programs 17 through 21. So again, the international links, the links running to the CSU and its partner, the CDU, Franz Josef Strauss, the Sportgruppe Hoffmann, Hans Langermann, and through that, back to the Olympics massacre that we will talk about, more than a little significant here. And again, a big tip of the hat to Der Spiegel and to those elements of the German authorities that are conducting this investigation. Another overlapping story, and a very important one that broke while I was convalescing, concerns something in Germany, that in many ways may be something like a German equivalent of the Super Seize Me in Italy. In the aforementioned AFA programs 17 to 21, we took a look at Henry Kissinger's support for the Super Seize Me network and the links from the Nixon administration, among others, to the P2/Super Seize Me network. What we're going to look at here is a story that broke in 2012 concerning Henry Kissinger, Richard Nixon, and their active conspiring with far-right Nazi-derived German elements in the intelligence service, in the industrial and financial sector, and in the German aristocracy to destabilize the seated German government of then-Chancellor Willy Brandt and his Ostpolitik, which involved détente with the former East Germany and the former Soviet Union. This Kissinger-Nixon German Nazi network was called the Little Service, and one of the key people involved with its operation, he's not named here, it's very interesting, they say a former head of the German Foreign Intelligence Service, the BND. This was formed in 1969. There was only one, quote, former, unquote, head of the BND in 1969, and that was Reinhard Gehlen. Again, although he's not named, that is one of the most important elements in this particular concatenation. For discussion of the Little Service, we're going to turn to the Daily Mail of December 3rd of 2012. Kissinger and the secret spy network of old Nazis and German aristocrats who plotted to overthrow the West German government. It is by Alan Hall, H-A-L-L, and it reads in part as follows. A German academic has unearthed evidence showing former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger once discussed a coup with disgruntled Nazis to overthrow the West German government in the 1970s. Kissinger and Richard Nixon were aggrieved at the left-leaning government of the day's burgeoning friendship with the hardline East German government. Kissinger became the contact man for a secret spy network made up of old Nazis and elite aristocrats aimed at torpedoing the plans formulated by then-Chancellor Willy Brandt. That, by the way, is W-I-L-L-Y, last name, capital B-R-A-N-D-T. Continuing, by the end of 1970, Kissinger was offering the spies advice on how to deal with Brandt's social democratic government. The group he became embroiled with was called, quote, the Little Service, unquote, and was formed by the Conservative Christian Democratic Union, or CDU, which was allied with Bavaria's Christian Social Union. Parenthetically, that was Franz Josef Strauss's organization that we looked at in the previous article. Continuing, one agent who visited Kissinger quoted him as saying, it might be possible to overthrow the current government, but it remains to be seen whether this would involve risks which could put a Christian Democratic Union, or CDU, Christian Social Union government in great difficulty. Skipping down. Brandt pursued a policy of engagement with the German Democratic Republic, convinced that it was better to build bridges with the dictatorship to defuse Cold War tensions rather than always being at loggerheads. For the all-white, all-male conservatives of the CDU, this was too much. They wanted West Germany to face off against the Soviet-backed regime in the belief that isolation would make it crumble. It was out of this belief that its private spy organization, made up of many former Gestapo and SS men, as well as titled barons and counts, was formed. Political scientist Stephanie Vaske, W-A-S-K-E, spent 7 years researching letters from politicians from the Christian Democratic Union and its Bavarian sister party, the Christian Social Union, and her results are to be published next year, potentially embarrassing timing for Chancellor Angela Merkel, who in November 2013 will seek re-election as CDU Chancellor for the third time. Parenthetically, I haven't heard anything more about this. If our listeners have, please email me and let me know. Continuing, Ms. Vaske approached Kissinger for comment, but he refused, as did many of the noblemen who worked for the little service, which came into being in 1969 after the party lost its first general election since the post-war republic was formed in 1949. Details of her research are published in the current edition of the German intellectual weekly Die Zeit. The catalyst for the spy group was Braun's decision to recognize post-World War II borders dividing Germany and the pledge Braun gave that his state would not use violence against the communist one in the East. Conservative MP Karl Theodor Freiherr zu Guttenberg, G-U-T-T-E-N-B-E-R-G, who was the grandfather of the disgraced former defense minister who had to resign last year after it was discovered that he cheated on his doctorate, held a meeting in the autumn of 1969 with former Chancellor Kurt Georg Kiesinger, not to be confused with Henry Kissinger, again, this is Kurt Georg Kiesinger, and leading CDU and CSU politicians, the CSU being the Bavarian wing of the party. Quote, "They decided to form an information service for the opposition," unquote, said Vaske. "It was a secret spy service," unquote. The former head of the BND, Germany's Foreign Intelligence Agency, was tapped, and he offered up a ready-made web of informants around the globe in countries as far apart as the U.S., France, and Saudi Arabia. Parenthetically, again, this was in 1969. There was only one former head of BND at that point. That was Reinhard Gehlen. Continuing, Hans Christoph von Stauffenberg, the cousin of the man who tried and failed to kill Adolf Hitler in the July 1944 bomb plot, was chosen to head the network. Casimir Prince of Sayn-Wittgenstein, that's Sayn-Wittgenstein, who would later only narrowly miss imprisonment for the CDU's party donation scandal of a decade ago, was recruited to raise the hundreds of thousands of Deutsche Marks necessary to fund the network. He collected from conservatives in industry, many of whom had previously supported Adolf Hitler, and who now viewed with suspicion the apparent coziness developing between Brandt and the communists. The first act was to open a secret back channel, unquote, to Kissinger, that's Henry Kissinger in the U.S., not to be confused with former German Chancellor Kurt Georg Kiesinger. Again, the first act was to reopen a secret back channel to Kissinger, who was keen to know what the Soviets were up to at all times, including their puppets in East Berlin. The treasurer of the group was Alfred Seidel, S-E-I-D-L, a former Nazi who acted as the chief defense lawyer for Hitler deputy Rudolf Hess. Quote, "In 1971, Brandt was talking about the administration of Berlin with Leonid Brezhnev in Yalta, and Stauffenberg's informants were delivering secret information to the conservatives who were discussing it with Henry Kissinger," unquote, said Ms. Vaske. The intelligence gleaned came from the eavesdropping, intercepted mail, informers, and telephone taps. And one of the key participants in this network, as reported in an article from the Daily Telegraph of December 3rd of 2012, this is an article, West Germany's CDU had private spy service. It's by Matthew Day, one of the key participants in this network. Quote, drawing on the ranks of former members of the German Secret Service, the network brought together such figures as Hans Globke, G-L-O-B-K-E, co-author of the Nuremberg Laws. Again, the Nuremberg Laws, such as the Law for the Protection of German Blood and Honor, were the legal foundation for the German persecution and extermination programs conducted against Jews, Gypsies, various minorities, gays, political outs. So again, when Hans Globke is included in this, that is one of the primary figures in the execution, and I mean that quite literally, of Third Reich political and social policy with extremely, massively bloody results. Hans Globke, as we looked at in AFA program number 2, and as discussed in the book The New Germany and the Old Nazis by T.H. Tettens from 1961, available for download for free on an easy-to-use PDF file on the SpitfireList.com website. Hans Globke was the Eminence Grise behind Konrad Adenauer, the first chancellor of the, quote, new, unquote, Germany. Adenauer, by the way, was succeeded by Ludwig Erhard, who had been his economics minister. Erhard was the architect of the, quote, German economic miracle, unquote, which really resulted from the repatriation of the Bormann flight capital network. Erhard had been part of what was called the Kleine Arbeitskreis. That was a network in late Nazi Germany that brought together political figures who were tabbed for post-war work with top industrialists and the SS. I alluded to Kurt Georg Kiesinger, not Henry Kissinger, but Kurt Georg Kiesinger. He succeeded Ludwig Erhard. He was a member of this little service network. He also had been in charge of radio propaganda for Goebbels' propaganda ministry under the Third Reich. Now, seeing Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon in a network like this should come as no surprise. We've looked at Nixon and his primary role in helping to develop and shepherd the Nazi wing of the Republican Party under the Republican Ethnic Heritage Council. We've looked at that in many programs, including For the Record 465. A key element of that, by the way, was the OUND. Henry Kissinger also had long involvement with various Nazi groups. One of the things that we looked at in For the Record program number 731 was Henry Kissinger's role in developing some of the Galen-related Nazi networks that were instrumental in prosecuting Cold War policy, although we're running short on time, and we won't have time to go into that in this program. That information is present in, For the Record, program 731, and it will be present in the description for the Record 806, this broadcast as well. Something that's interesting to contemplate as well, at the very same time Richard Nixon was executing his policy, and in the same time period was executing a policy of détente with the former Soviet Union. The Watergate scandal also involved the deliberate destabilization of the Richard Nixon administration by elements of the intelligence service. And one wonders that there has been speculation that among the participants in that was the aforementioned Henry Kissinger, who again was deeply involved with these Nazi networks that were put to work for the U.S. during the Cold War. So that's something else to contemplate. Was Nixon a victim of some of these same types of elements? Anyway, we are all out of time. This concludes Side 2, For the Record, program number 806, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates. This is being recorded on August 17th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.